You know, great things happen when we're walking with the Lord, but I think it's fitting to ask the question, are we experiencing the joy that comes with a walk with Jesus? Joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit produces things in us like love and patience and joy that they're not ours, they're His. And it's different than our happiness, which we get from maybe an occasion, an event. The joy of God is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit that is manifested in good or bad times. But I really sensed as we started the new year that the joy of people, even in the church, had been stolen from a lot. I didn't see the abundant joy that I believe we should be walking in. And so the Lord prompted me to bring a series around a theme for the year. The theme would be experiencing the joy of God. And I have to believe that there's someone that's sitting here or someone that's watching that you're in a place of loneliness or difficulty, maybe because of the loss of someone in your life, or maybe just a transition in your life that's been very difficult, and so you're not having that joy that God promises. It's a promise from God that we should have this joy. So we've been going through this series, Experiencing Joy, and we're looking at the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's called Philippians. It's a book in the Bible, an epistle, which is a letter that Paul wrote, and he wrote the letter from prison. So his circumstances were not good. That's important for us to understand, because a lot of times our circumstances in this life are not good. But that's not what determines our joy. Our joy is determined by God. And you see in this letter that Paul continuously says, rejoice, or I will rejoice. And again, I will rejoice. And so he reminds himself about this important thing in our life, which is joy and rejoicing, even in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're going to look at a place in this letter as we progress that talks about, you know, the tension that we're in. As a Christian, there are things that we struggle with. We have this tension because it's the already, but not yet. That's the tension that we have as followers of God. There's things that we have that we will not realize until we cross the threshold of going home with the Lord. I'm going to give you an example. The Lord says that our bodies will be perfect. We'll have glorified bodies. That's a promise that we already have, but it has not happened yet. I mean, I look at my body. My body is not perfect. Close. But not perfect. And I won't realize that perfection until I go home to Jesus, right? My mortality will be turned into immortality. And a lot of things that you know, for example, you know, healings and things like that, not everybody's healed. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. Amen? And none of the apostles were always healed. How do I know that? They're dead. People before us, they're dead. They died from something. I was called because I was having a wonderful week last week, and then I got a phone call, and my son-in-law's grandfather, who raised him, great man, we're going to have his service here on Saturday, but they had called the paramedics because he had had he was fine watching TV, probably watching a ball game, ate two burritos before this, and They went to him again, and he was unresponsive, and he passed. And they asked me to go, and so I went down there, and there I was with all the loved ones. And we sat there, and I prayed over the family and entrusted him to the Lord. And there was something that was different. There was the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because we all sat on these couches as he was there, but his spirit had been offered to Jesus already, right? He was there with Jesus. And we sat there for an hour or more with him just laying there and us talking about all the good things in life. That's the joy that only comes from God. And so we have this tension, and I want you guys to realize this tension to safeguard you from teaching that can lead you astray. That why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? But that's not even biblical, beloved. That's not even biblical. We'll see that in the scriptures. We'll see what Paul says in the most difficult of times and how that the difficulties of this world, that tension that we're in, cannot rob us of the reality that there's a promise from God that we will realize all these perfect things in heaven. All these perfect things in the new heaven and the new earth. So this is what Paul says. He's progressing. And in chapter 1, verse 20, this is what he says. Okay, now let me preface by saying that in the last passage that we looked at, we saw that Paul's his whole thing is, I'm going to share Jesus no matter what situation I'm in. And there's never a wasted season in our lives. The difficulty that you're facing, God is allowing because there's someone that needs to hear that Jesus is good no matter what. Jesus is good no matter what. And sometimes you're in a difficult season with difficult people because God wants to show you how amazing he is in your difficulty. And that you can share the goodness of God in your difficulty. Right? That's where Paul was, in prison. He had been abandoned by his own people. He had been almost torn apart. He had falsely accused, a court hearing that went against him because people were lying and slandering and all these things. This is where he was in his circumstances, but that's not where he was in his heart. His heart was joyful in the Lord. That's important to us. Because no matter what we're facing, we need to understand that God is always faithful, right? So here's where he starts in verse 20. For I fully expect, I'm going to pause right there because remember what I said, fully expect, and we received an offering, and I said I fully believe, I expect that God is going to, he's going to be God. Okay, so that's how Paul lived his life. I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. In other words, I don't want to change my perspective because of my circumstance. I don't want to shy away of telling people that God is faithful when my circumstance is in a bad place and people say, well, if God is so good, why are you where you're at? If God is so good, Paul, why are you in prison? If God cares about you, why are you having the problems that you're having? Can I tell you why? Because you're not in heaven. You're not in the new heaven and new earth. In this world, you'll have trials, you'll have tribulation, you'll have difficulty. Paul says, I want to be bold now, just like I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die. How many of you know that you can bring glory to Christ when you're dying? One of the greatest impacts in Pastor James's life, one of the greatest impacts was a man by the name of Dale South. Dale South was an elder here at Living Word Chapel. He was a mighty man of God. He was a great raise miner, which is the most difficult job underground. How do I know that? I worked as a raise miner myself. And every time you went up there, you prayed you didn't die. It was the most dangerous job at the mine, besides the raise stations. And the raise stations, Mike West worked in the raise stations. And you went to uncovered ground after you blasted. You went there with no coverage over you. There was not, it was not cribbed. It was not, you know, any covering. So you went up there and you would just pray on the way up that things didn't fall on you. So he was a great man, a man's man. And he loved the Lord and he believed the Lord for everything, for healings, for miracles. And he got cancer. And I'll never forget him walking through cancer and going to be with Jesus. I saw more Jesus in him, in his cancer, than I did before the cancer. And it built up my faith. Paul says, he says, whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to keep trusting in the Lord. Are you with me? That's important for you to grab a hold of, okay? And then he says, let me get back to 22. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn. There's a tension. I'm torn between. Between two desires. I long to go to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. Now, how many people ever think they live their life like, it'd be so much better to be with Jesus? I don't know about you, but that's the way I think. I got to be honest with you. I tell my kids all the time. I tell my grown children. I tell my grandchildren, you guys need to be ready because the Lord's going to take me one of these days. And I can't wait. It's so much better. So Paul says, it would be better for me, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between these two desires. I long to be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he's doing through me. Okay, so he's saying, if I'm living, I'm going to be living for Christ, right? I'm going to be living in Christ, but to die is better. Above all, he says, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, not fighting against each other. We're going to see later in this letter that there's two ladies whom Paul loves. He says, you need to encourage them to get along. It's always those ladies. No, it's always people, right? Fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege, of what? Suffering for him. Paul says, I'm suffering in prison, but the suffering is actually bringing glory to God. The suffering that we go through, we get to align ourselves with Jesus because Jesus suffered on this earth. And until we experience suffering, and I know you guys came for this reason, you came today so that you could hear about how much you should suffer. But that's a biblical reality, beloved. That's a biblical reality that there's something, there's a privilege that we have, a privilege for suffering for Christ. He says, we are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of suffering. Are you suffering today? You're in good company. Because Jesus suffered. How can you appreciate the goodness of God if you never go through difficulty? How can you know the faithfulness of God if you never experience the difficulties that come with this world? How can you expect a better place if this place is good and you think it's better than Jesus? Are you with me? God is so much better. Heaven is so much better. How do we experience joy in the tension of the already but not yet? And you need to know it, that there are some things in our life that though we already have a promise, we're not going to experience it on this side of heaven. I have an abundant life in Christ. But there's coming a day where that abundant life is going to be a perfect life, because there's not going to be worry anymore. There's not going to be difficult people. I don't know how God's going to do that. Work with me. There's not going to be this tension of people not getting along. There's not going to be this tension of people that are going through some horrible illnesses and difficulties. We're not going to have that anymore. We're not going to have the stress and the anxieties and the fears and all the things that we face on a daily basis. So here's the first takeaway I want you to consider. I want you to consider these things. Experience joy with the promise of eternal life and the reality of our earthly death. The reality. Notice the verbiage right there. Experience joy with the promise of eternal life and the reality of our earthly death. What I see from this passage is that Paul's joy is generated with the fact that this life is not the end. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I go to prepare a place so that where I am, you will be with me also. And if I go to prepare a place, I'm going to come back for you. And you know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a promise that this is not our home. So In our difficulties or whatever we're going through in life, from the dash, okay, we have a birth date and then we have a death date. In the dash, we have this privilege of sharing Jesus with people around us no matter what we're going through. Are you with me? That's why Paul said, I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have in the past. And what you need to understand from the context right there, what he's saying right there, in the past, I was chasing people to imprison them, and now I am imprisoned. Are you with me? There was a time in my life that I did whatever I wanted. Now I'm doing whatever God wants. Is that important for us? There was a time in our life when we walked independently of his purposes, and now we walk in his purposes. And sometimes his purposes take us places that we never thought we would go or that we would even want to go, but there's a purpose for that. It's to make us better. It's for us to be shaped into the likeness of Christ. He said, I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or I die. And you know what brings me the greatest joy? I'm going to tell you what brings me the greatest joy. Knowing that someone is saved. Let me tell you what brings me the greatest joy. Ricky David today. Ricky David getting baptized, giving her life to Jesus. Because see, your eternal life started today. It doesn't start when you die. It starts today. You'll be with Jesus forever. And there's no greater joy than to know that someone has trusted in Jesus, that someone has says yes to Jesus. The Bible says that if we confess Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins, from our pain, from our shame, from our diseases. When we confess Jesus is Lord, we receive the goodness. We already have this eternal life, but yet we don't have the healing in its fullness. People still get cancer. Christians die from cancer. People still get lupus. Christians suffer from lupus. They die from all kinds of ailments. We die. One out of one person will die unless Jesus comes back. I know that to be true. Boy, Pastor, I should have missed this week. I met with a brother in the Lord for lunch this week, and we've been trying to get this meeting together. He's been fighting cancer, and so he just completed his last chemo treatment, and so we had this lunch. And he's a remarkable man. He started a school. Him and his wife started a school in the Dominican Republic years ago, and it's recognized by the government in the Dominican as a poster child of private schools that have transformed the lives of people in their country. And I'm planning to make a trip over there. I'm planning to go down there in October. And it did so well that now they started a school in Cuba. And they are doing a work where Jesus is the centerpiece of what they do, and kids are learning and they're growing in the things of God. That's everything we want to do at Living Word Chapel. What an accident. What a coincidence that we met up. And so we had this conversation, and he's coming out of cancer. He trusts in the Lord. He believes God for miracles, and he still went through all these treatments. And as we talked, I couldn't help but just, because he said, "Bro, let me tell you that I'm okay going home with Jesus. I'm okay with that. But my wife and my family want me here." Isn't that the way life is? If you're a follower of Christ, let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know that there's something better. But for your family, for your wife, for your kids, you say, "Lord, keep me here if that's your will, so that I can pour into them, so that I can pour into people." But the crazy thing is, I go there to Carlotta's where we met for lunch, and I walk in there, and there's a guy that I worked with. He was my partner at work, and he's sitting there eating by himself, and working underground. Let me give you some content. So I worked with this guy underground, and he was kind of a mentor to me in the mine. And he was a big guy, probably around 6'3", and big guy. And so I sat with him at the table, and I said, "How you doing? I haven't seen him in years." And he couldn't walk. His knees are bad and all these things. He's really gone downhill in the years. And as I sit with this one-time very strong man who's ailing now, it just speaks to me about the reality that we're in this tension in this world where we can't, I mean, Father Time is against us. And there's things that begin to happen in our lives that Jesus is the only answer for providing the joy that we need no matter what we're going through. Are you with me? He's not a believer, by the way. But he will be, because I know God's going to save him. So we need to know something important, that we will die on this earth at our appointed time, and we all have an appointed time. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, it says, "And just as each person is destined or appointed to die once, and after that comes judgment." So we only die once. You need to know that. And we don't come back. There's no reincarnation. The Bible speaks it very clearly. We're all destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. "So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people, everyone who trusted him, and he will come again not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly are waiting for him." And all of us together say, "Maranatha! Maranatha, come quickly, Lord." But don't we have that tension even for him to come quickly? Because there's loved ones in my life who need Jesus still. And so I'm saying, "Lord, please come selfishly for me and for those that have trusted," but then that have this tension. But I still want him to get saved. I still want her to get saved. Because we understand who we were before Jesus. We understand how we didn't have any hope, how we didn't have any joy, how we were in a depressed state. But we understand that Jesus changed all of that. So we're in this tension of the already, but not yet. And so Paul says, therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. If this doesn't lead you to share the Lord with someone in your circle that doesn't know the Lord, I don't know what will. Because tomorrow's not promised to any of us. I believe that there's someone in this service here today. You're here because death brought you here. My salvation came because of death. Before Christ, my wife and I, for me, my life was like, I've got this all figured out. I don't need anybody or anyone until people started dying around me. And it began to prick my heart to the reality that we are all mortal. And so the Bible teaches us this reality that only God is immortal. We're all mortal. We're all going to face death. And maybe you're here today because you faced death recently and it shook you up. The Apostle Peter put it like this: if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Praise God that you bear the name of Jesus. Here's a second takeaway. Find your joy in Christ in this life and on this earth with an understanding that the new heaven and new earth is far better. You ever heard someone say, it doesn't get any better than this? I have. I've actually lived that way before Jesus. It doesn't get any better than this. What could get better? Until you meet Jesus and then you say, it only gets better. It only gets better. It will only get better. And it helps us to realize, that's the wrong word. It helps us to release people when they go with Jesus instead of getting stuck in the narrative of why. Why would you keep someone from going with Jesus selfishly because you want them here for yourself if it's better? It'll also help you when it's your time to know that you ran the race. You finished the course. You know what's waiting for you, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will place on each one of us because of what Jesus has done and because we trusted in him. Are you with me? You live life different and you face death different. The Apostle Peter put it like this, chapter 3, verse 13, 2 Peter. We are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth that he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. You need to know that this world, this present world, is not filled with God's righteousness. It's only touched by God's righteousness in the people who he has brought into the fold. Are you with me? Peter would never have said we look forward to if we were experiencing it now. Peter teaches me the already, but not yet. So the teaching that if you have enough faith, you won't get sick or suffer, I'm going to say this, it is not biblical. In this world, you will have trials and tribulation. Some of the greatest people of faith have died from disease. Some of the greatest people of faith have had suffering in this life, but it was never wasted suffering. It brought glory to Jesus. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, or the NLT, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Living for Christ means that you use everything he's given to you to make a difference for his glory. And this is, I say this all the time, I think it's important. You should leave everything on the field of the playing field of life. Every talent that God's given you, use it here, because there's coming a day when you can't use it anymore. Amen? Don't be a church attender. Be a world changer for Jesus. And when I say world changer, it doesn't have to be the whole world. It could be your world. It could be where God has placed you to make a difference for him. Paul put it like this: if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to hope, to help all of you grow and experience, I love this, experience the joy of your faith. Here's a question for me. The people around me, do I bring the joy of the Lord into their faith? Are you encouraged? Are you strengthened? Because that's what God has called me to do. He's called me to make your world better, because God's made my world better. No matter what I'm going through, I have to believe that God is good. So you need to put that in your perspective. No matter what you face, if people have abandoned you, let me tell you something, God will never abandon you. Your joy is not in that person that abandoned you. Your joy is in Jesus, who never will. If you lost a loved one, if you've lost a loved one and you're in that place, and maybe there's tension because of other people that are involved, and there's always that tension, death will bring out the best of us, but it also bring out the worst of us. When people die, people are either going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being faithful. You're going to say, Lord, where were you? Why'd you do this? But biblically speaking, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Are you with me? There's a place in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, that I believe is for this life and for the life to come. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said this: eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There are things that our eyes have never seen that God has prepared for us, which are so much better than anything you've ever seen. There are things that we're going to hear that are so much better than anything we've ever heard. The greatest thing that I've ever heard in my human hearing, the greatest thing I've ever heard is I love you from the people that I care about the most. But there's coming a day that I'm going to hear that coming from Jesus' own mouth. I've read it in his word. I hear it in the spirit. I internalize that God loves me. But one of these days, I'm going to hear it from Jesus himself. He's going to say right here audibly, I love you. And I've always loved you. I'm going to see rose bushes. I believe that rose bushes, I'm going to see them without any thorns. And not only are they going to be beautiful, but they're not going to hurt you when you pick it up. Someone brought me some lemons that they harvested the other day, and I didn't even know that lemons trees had thorns. But I picked up one of the lemons, and they left a little bit of the stem on it, and it pricked me. And I was like, ooh. There's coming a day when we go and have a lemon in heaven. That rhymed. We're going to have a lemon in heaven. Boop. And you're not going to have to worry about yet have thorns. Doesn't that help you out with perspective? Here's the third takeaway that I want you to consider. Find God's joy on this earth by living not as earthly citizens, but heavenly citizens. See, when you live as an earthly citizen, you're going to be very invested in everything here. When you live as a citizen of heaven, you understand this is only temporary. Joy is knowing that you're just passing through. So we don't get stuck in the here and now. We don't get stuck in our past. I don't get stuck in my past. And this is something that's brought me great joy. I want to make a difference today. I have today to make a difference. You know, I'm able to speak to 100 people here, first service, over 100. I'm able to speak to the people that are listening. I want to make a difference in your life for the glory of God. I want to bring you good news. There's enough bad news going on already. Going back to the playoff, your team might have lost yesterday. But there's better news in Jesus. So Paul says in verse 21, you must live as citizens of heaven. You must, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together in one spirit and one purpose, fitting together or fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. And nothing blesses me as much as people getting along in the church. People that are loving each other, because the devil wants to divide. He wants to bring disharmony, right? First Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, in other words, pilgrims and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. He's saying you're here, beloved, but you're just passing through. You're sojourners. How many of you understand that? You're just passing through. Here's your fourth takeaway. Experience joy by understanding that your suffering is never a wasted season when you're in Christ. God doesn't waste anything. I talked a little bit about death that hit our family and mostly my wife's family, but it impacted me. So her sister got leukemia at 30 years of age. And we were in our 20s. And so she had to have a bone marrow treatment or some treatment in Tucson. And at that time, I was far from God. Far. So they asked me to take her to University Hospital, now it's Banner, and have her get her treatment and then drive her back to New Mexico. So she had a captive audience. And with a real soft voice, she said, do you mind if we put this music on? Christian music. Hymns. I was like, yeah, go for it. And my heart was soft already because she's going through this horrible illness. So the Lord was beginning to work on my heart, and then all the way to New Mexico, to Lordsburg from Tucson, she kept sharing the love of Jesus. It impacted me. It softened my heart. Then she passed. I hadn't become a Christian yet. My wife had not rededicated her life to Jesus again. But it softened our hearts. So her sister passed, and then her brother passed several months later. Then her niece was killed by a drunk driver. She was killed in Odessa, Texas. In a matter of 6 months. And all of these were working together to shape my heart where I would receive Jesus. And through that suffering, which ended in the day that the Lord took her home, and she's not suffering anymore forever. You with me? And all that suffering brought this far from God man to Jesus, who would later preach the gospel with hundreds and thousands of people for his glory. God doesn't waste anything in our life. The great modern theologian Tim Keller, who died from pancreatic cancer in 2023, he wrote a book titled Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And he said this, Suffering is unbearable if you aren't certain that God is for you and with you. It's unbearable when you do it alone. But when Jesus is with you, no matter what you're going through, you know that he's in control. And he's going to leverage it for his glory. Look at what Paul said. I'm going to end with this. He said to the Philippians, and he's in prison. He says, I don't know if they're going to take my life or I'm going to keep on living. I'm in this tension. He says, but you've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. He says, we're in this struggle together. And you've seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. I'm still in the midst of it. So as we close, are you suffering today? Is your wife going through something that you can't fix? Is your husband in a dilemma that's bigger than you? Do you have a doctor's appointment this week or had a doctor's appointment that had news that you can't fix? It's bigger than you. And you're suffering. That's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. It's bigger than us. But you know what I've come to learn about suffering? I find God and his grandness and his bigness in and through the things I suffer. Are you going to choose to glorify him in your circumstances? It's a choice, beloved. Every morning is a choice to do what God called you to do or to do the opposite. There's never joy in the opposite. There's never joy in the opposite for the simple reason of this, is that God is our source of joy. Right? He's our source of joy. So if you try to find joy outside of Jesus, you'll never find God's joy. You might find temporary happiness, but then you default back to the place that you were at one time. But the joy of God is produced in us by the Holy Spirit so that we can make it through whatever we're going through. That's the goodness of God. Now, I'm going to close with this. The greatest thing you could do is to give your life to Jesus today. If you haven't done that, if you have not said, Jesus, I come to you, I believe that you're the Savior of the world, I open up my heart and I receive you today. If you haven't done that, do it right now. Do it right now. Just say, Jesus, I will follow you from this day forward. And then from that premise, he will guide you every step of the way throughout your life. I know this because that's what he's done in me and so many millions that have trusted in Jesus. And we found joy in God. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this time, for all these beautiful people that you've brought into this service, Lord God. Thank you for your word. It's so precious. Thank you for the understanding that we get in your word, Lord, that this is not our home. We're just passing through, Lord God. And in this passing through, we want to make a difference for your glory. We want to live an abundant life. We want to live a life that has purpose. And that purpose is for people to know how good you are. So we pray your blessing upon our coming in and our going out. in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Service. Go ahead.